Also, so much like Christopher Walken, Sam Jackson's in one scene. Seth, are you pulling a tooth out of your mouth? I can't tell.
Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, welcome back to Faking Movies. This is episode 78. Yeah, there we are.
Yeah,
okay.
Nailed it. Right. That's the right number this time. Good job.
Yeah, we're going to heaven on those 8 mile high and falling fast.
Oh boy.
Well, American okay. Pie is a song, and I am joined
Land
by my dear friend Seth, who is going to get
Players
me out of this pickle.
For a forward pass with the jester on the sidelines in the cast.
All right,
not
and
the
we
secret
have to
verse.
Stop
not the
now
verse.
Because Don McLean will sue us. How's it going, Seth?
Pretty well. I could sing that whole song from memory, though, if you want me to.
Me too. No, we'll do that this weekend when we're hanging out.
Oh, we did. Oh, we true. Did force that upon Lucas in a car once. So
yes, that's true. Friend of the show, Lucas, has so many reasons to hate me.
Yeah, no,
just, I don't even know.
I feel like the radio went out in the car, and we just started singing it anyway, and we just sang through the entire song.
So that you passed an entire hour singing American
it's only 9
8
minutes long.
Yeah, like, it's not that long. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not that long, my dear friend Zach, who I'm also joined with, by mm-hmm. here today. Mm-hmm. What's up, Zach?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So this is, as I said, episode 78. Check out our website. Check out our Twitter. Check out our Instagram. This is the final episode we're going to be recording without some wedding rings on our dear friend Zach's fingers.
It's true, multiple wedding rings.
Yes, because he is in a polygamous relationship.
That's true. He got real complicated and expensive.
And before you get too judgy here, yes, he is going to have multiple wives, but all of those wives have multiple husbands. So
yeah. We keep it even.
It's more like a commune sort of situation.
Yeah, circular. Yeah. And let's, I immediately feel bad about joking about that because that's something that I find detestable. Anyway. Let's bring it on back in. Make fun of me a little bit. Before we recorded, I watched the end of Coco, and I had to take off my glasses because I fogged them up with tears. what are you guys doing tonight?
I was watching old Venture Brothers episodes.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, I mean, that's fun. Instead of working.
Seth and I talked a bit about nostalgic music. I was watching a Starting Line concert DVD. We were talking about how garbo early 2000s any music video was.
Yeah. We watched some Flogging Wally, which was rough.
Pardon, real quick. Physical media. You watched it on physical media.
No, sorry. I mean, DVD on YouTube.
I see. Okay.
I think I do own, like, at least... I own a box set of Coheed concert DVDs.
Oh,
my God.
Wow.
I know that for a fact.
Yeesh. I used to own a Jimi Hendrix concert DVD and a Led Zeppelin box set DVD and a AC/DC one, but they are all gone to the winds now.
And you watched all of them 0 times, I would guess?
I think I watched all the Zeppelin ones with friend of the show Jeremy at some point, but that'd be about it, yeah.
That's the right call. Maybe
because
Jimmy's
in our
good.
Friendship, we got a whole lot of love.
Well, okay. Yep.
I had a DVD of all of Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade Suite, by the London Philharmonic. So that was pretty nice.
This is the highbrow section of our show.
Opulent, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not opulent. It's a very good piece of music. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, guys, as long as we're on highbrow subjects, I think maybe it'd be a good time for Seth to tell us what we're doing this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Hey, audience, do you have about 3.5 minutes? Because Seth's got some shit to talk about.
Okay. Right okay. So the movie that these chuckle fucks gave me is
Hey, again, we fucked ourselves. You didn't have to watch this
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a spoiler here. You're going to win this. You are going to win this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like, but it has, no, it no has question. Such a murderer's row.
Yeah, well.
Well, yeah. Okay. People I want to murder. Sure.
We did, in true faking movies fashion, pull a real fuck you to a dear friend of ours. We gave Seth the entire cast.
Well, minus like extras that added themselves to the IMDb, I think, we gave him like all of the actual cast for sure.
I think everyone that has a line in this movie, other than like a guy who runs a hamburger stand, gave to Seth. Yeah,
played by Tony Shalhoub early in his career.
Probably. Oh, we would have given you the Shalhoub if we had him.
Oh yeah, match.
No, okay. This would have been like mid wings. Well, that's probably too much info, but yeah.
No, this is well.
That seems accurate with the actors you gave me.
It's pretty close. Yeah. Yeah, it might be. It might be like maybe his first or second season as a regular at this point.
Yeah, yeah, seems right.
Well,
yeah.
the apparently garbage movie you gave me is True Romance.
Come at us, Twitter. Fuck you, everyone. I think this movie's trash.
Yeah, if you like this movie, you fucking suck.
Yeah, you guys gave me 17 actors.
No.
Are you fucking kidding me? Really?
No, that's the number.
Is it really that many?
I just counted on my list.
Holy fuck.
So in order...
At first, we gave you 15, and then we added two people.
We did.
Yeah, you sure did.
We did do that. That is so many more than I thought.
I thought it was like 10.
I thought it was like 9 or 10.
No, it's 17. So in order to keep this straight, I wrote down all of their names, and then next to each name, I gave myself like either a sentence or like a phrase or a word to try to keep everything straight. So let me read you through my list of actors and their supplemental information.
I still have tear stains on the inside of my glasses.
Okay.
Is it... Wait, can I pre-guess? Are, like, most of them, like, fat Italian?
a lot of them have the word mob in them.
Okay, well, okay.
I'm going to give you a hint. That's not incorrect.
Yeah. Okay. So, this is in no particular order because I don't know why I started with this, but Michael Rapaport.
He's the first person you went with.
He's the first person on my list, yeah. Uh-huh.
Zach has a great...
Billing, you could have done worse.
Before you get into it, Zach had a great description of Michael Rapaport the other day. Do you remember, Zach,
what it was? Involve the word poodle? Because he kind of looks like an Irish poodle.
No, it wasn't. No, I forget, Lee. What was it?
I think it was something along the lines of Michael Rapaport is one of those guys where you see him and you like wonder, does he need some sort of help?
Yeah.
But you're like too nervous to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you saw him in public, especially if you saw him talking, you'd be like, somebody should call somebody about him, but I don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to stand over here. And I hope someone does something about that.
Also, he played
like,
a character.
I'm going to move away from him on the subway, like, whatever you call that.
He's too, like, animated and happy. Yeah, it's a thing. But he's also great. I like his performances quite a bit.
I do not care for him, and I will say that it's very heavily painted by, like, he did a two-episode arc or three-episode arc on Friends, and he made Phoebe cry, and, like, I don't fuck with that shit.
Yeah. Not okay. That's fair. Sure.
Okay, so let me read my actors' many and list. Michael Rapaport, mob movie. Saul Rubinek, that one episode of Star Trek called The Most Toys. And Donnie Douglas from Frasier.
Oh, there you go. That's what I thought you were going to do. Yep, yep.
Conchata Farrell, sitcoms.
That's 100% true. Yep.
Chris Penn, mob movie. James Gandolfini, mob movie.
Dead.
Well, yeah, weird.
Tom Sizemore, anything murder.
Also dead?
Yeah, no, drug problem. Actually, Conchita Farrell might be dead, now that I think about it.
Oh, I don't know.
It's amazing if Tom Sizemore is still alive.
It's true. Next on the list, Val Kilmer, Batman.
Sure, yeah.
Yes.
Dennis Hopper,
fact.
Background in Cool Hand Luke / perennial crazy person.
Oh yeah, two hoppers so close together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did Hopper as old motorcycle in my abridged
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Conchita Farrell is not dead, so thankfully. Okay. Thankfully she's still out there working as far as I can tell, so.
Yeah, grinding it up.
Character actors, man.
Yeah, that's true. Next up we have Brad Pitt, possible vampire, possible death, always eating, always cheekbones.
Oh yeah, I know what movies things. You're referencing. Yeah, that's good. I just had a very long discussion about Meet Joe Black the other day.
Really? Huh. Did it have Tony Hopkins in it too?
I mean, yeah, you have to. What's the most Welsh way to say Anthony? Because I feel like that's what he goes by.
It'll have like W's in it.
Somehow, astonishingly.
Yeah. No, it's Tony Hops.
Yo, T Hops!
Oh my god, I love that shit. Plug that shit into my veins. Oh,
that's very good.
Next up, I have Christian Slater. The worst part of Heathers, the best part of making up songs about men from Nottingham.
Yep. I just rewatched Heathers not too long ago, and it turns out I don't like that movie.
Yeah, me too.
No, it's not good. Yeah.
Next up on my incredibly long actor list, I have Patricia Arquette, the Arquette I remember the least.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember Rosanna. I remember David a lot more.
Mm-hmm. She's the only Arquette that has an Oscar, though. Mm. And a CSI lead.
Mm-hmm. And a fucking, oh no, that was Rosanna by Toto or whatever. Yeah,
so the Toto Fuck, song Rosanna is named after Rosanna Arquette, not Patricia Arquette, interestingly enough. Yeah.
Who
would have guessed?
Okay, I'm not
there
even...
There is also an Arquette sibling who has sadly passed away, I do feel bad for not remembering them. They I believe they died from complications with AIDS, so R.I.P.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, they were in The Wedding. They were in The Wedding Singer.
Wow.
Oh, are they all actors? There's at least four of them I can think of.
Yeah, there's a big group of them who act. Yeah, absolutely.
Like Alexis, Patricia.
Alexis
David.
Is who I was talking about. Alexis is dead.
Hmm. Oh, she's dead?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Was that recent? I don't remember that.
A long time ago, I think.
Oh fuck. Boy. Okay.
Well. On that somber note, I'll continue with my list of actors, because I'm nowhere near the end yet.
No, you are not. Right. Oh, wait, it was kind of recent, 2016.
Mm. That's what I thought, okay.
On September 11th. Mm.
Jesus. Okay. Well, it got sadder, so go ahead, Seth.
Okay, well, next up we have Gary Oldman, Zorn!
Oh, so far down the list.
Yeah.
Doing Zorn with that one?
Yeah. I mean,
Jean-Emmanuel Baptiste Zorn.
That's the one.
Yeah. He's come up several
times
recently.
Those names at some
point. It doesn't matter. next up, we have Chris Walken with Amazing Dancer.
Yep. Okay, so it's catching on. I like this. Chris Walken.
Also, I didn't even realize there's, I think, three Oscar winners so far in this cast.
Yeah.
Shit. You wouldn't know it watching the movie.
Patricia, Chris, and the old man.
Mm-hmm. The old man.
Sure. Yep.
Look at your life. I'm a lot like you are. Okay.
Old man, I love farms.
And I hate the South.
I recorded a full album with a choir backing me up about why George W. Bush sucked.
That's a thing. That's a real thing.
Weird.
One of my local FM stations when I was in college used to play it the entire thing every day for like a month. Oof. And they were like, this is important. Listen to this. And I'm like, I don't think it is. I don't
also,
know that it is. Yeah.
It sounds like it would be very unpleasant to listen to.
It was certainly not a banger.
Yeah. Woof.
Okay, next up on the list, I have Sam Jackson, and my note for him is Sam Jackson.
Yep, no introduction needed.
Exactly, I was just going to fucking say that, too.
Mm-hmm. The penultimate name I have on the list.
Oh, so the end is in sight, okay.
Yep, is Bronson Pinchot, and his modifier is largely forgettable.
Not Kuzan Larry.
See, I don't know what that means. So.
He was on Perfect Strangers. He played Balky Beltalkamus.
Yeah. I've never seen that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, man. It's that song. It has the theme song.
Nope.
Standing tall on the wings of my dream.
Right. So manifestly, Seth's description is correct.
Yeah. Like, I have no idea. Like... Yeah. Cool.
He's
like,
also in Beverly Hills Cop.
I don't really like that movie, actually.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm not a huge fan either.
Yeah.
Fun connection to this movie, though. Other than Bronson Pinchot.
I find that dubious.
Sure.
I find anything fun about this movie is dubious.
I mean, yes. Yeah.
No, that's right.
And then after you gave me 16 other fucking actors.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
You chuckle fucks.
I don't even know where we're at this point.
Yeah, we're at 17 now. And
we're
at
a very young fella in this one. Yeah.
Yeah, and you gave me one more person, and it's Kevin Corrigan.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot that we added Kevin Corrigan.
Yeah, and my modifier on him was, okay, it's definitely a mob movie.
Yeah, he is famously shipping up to Boston. That's true.
Yeah, sure enough.
Actually, I think this is our second Corrigan because we did Buffalo 66. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, right. He's the only sane person in that one.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Right on.
All right. So, you want me to do my plot with these 17 actors?
Oh, we didn't already do that? I was ready to give you a score.
I was going
to
say, we're like 20 minutes in.
Yeah, no, that's because you guys kept interrupting me when I was giving out the goddamn cast. So let's get into it.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, have at it.
Okay, so are you ready for true romance?
Yeah.
Certainly.
It's a loose fucking episode, man.
Oh, man, it's like a Rhea mist. All right, let's get into it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I feel like Michael Jordan at a urinal trough right now.
All right, so we open on a dark and stormy night, as is the cliche. You know, we're in a city where credits roll over rain trickling down gutters and across windows, and the city sounds of cars splashing through the puddles, and a fierce rumble of thunder punctuates dramatic moments in the score and the shift between names and the opening titles.
Is there any saxophone involved in this?
There could be.
If it's, I feel like that increases, it enhances the steaminess.
Yeah, uh-huh. So I wrote that first, and then I wrote in my notes, okay, so now I don't really know what to do.
So you got past the credits?
All right, so let me get, now I start my notes up again, they're here. So, okay. So, one of these people, one of these actors you gave me, let's go with Kevin Corrigan.
Honestly, roll a D18, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, well, it's because he was the last one I wrote down, so he becomes the main character.
He is one of the more deserving. That seems fun. Yeah.
Okay. So Kevin Corrigan, I guess, is down on his luck, a classical shitbag. His boyfriend has left him. His desk job is going nowhere, and just doesn't have a lot going for him. So we see him sitting in a shitty Irish bar, drinking away his sorrows, being all angry and volatile and shit.
Now, why would Kevin Corrigan be in an Irish bar, Seth?
I have no idea.
Does Donald Logue go in this bar in the later seasons of Grounded for Life?
Damn it, man. That's what I think of him as. It's Uncle Eddie.
It's Uncle Eddie. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, he's being angry and when who should appear but the Chris Walken himself, Gary Oldman.
you bastard.
But kind of playing a Chris Walken character, like vocal affects and dancing everywhere and stuff. Yeah.
He is a chameleon. He is definitely a chameleon.
Yeah. So, you know,
it works.
Enter the Chris Walken himself, Gary Oldman. And,
that's so good.
Anyway, Gary holds up his hands and, like, flames appear along with a card. To meet him later at some weird, creepy alley. And of course, there's some waffling over whether or not to go, but ultimately he's like, fuck it, I ain't got nothing better to do. So Gary meets Kevin and Allie and offers him the chance of a lifetime, quote-unquote, and an offer to get him out of his shitty life. Again, Kevin waffles briefly, but ultimately is like, fuck it. So he goes with old man and...
look at my life.
And they end up in this kind of elaborate, crazy catacomb underground village situation. Like, I mean, there's a lot going on. Wow, I wrote a lot of notes. Holy shit. Okay, let's get this.
Cool.
Okay, so with this ensemble cast like this, I just want to kind of be like adult education Harry Potter. these different.
I just started listening to The Magicians on Audible, and let me tell you, I do not care for it. But I am into an adult an adult magician school. That's what I want right now. Yeah.
So I feel like these different actors can play different like teachers and or students around this weird urban school they all sort of kind of attend. Okay. So like everybody in this weird village thing, have their own shitty lives, and they come to this secret underground wizard hobbyist club after work, and it turns out that no one has a good life, right? And they come here for camaraderie as well as to escape the doldrums of their modern existence. So we established that there are 7 forbidden arts that people can take part in.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Pyromancy, necromancy, geomancy, aromancy, hydromancy, chiromancy, and spatulomancy.
Can you explain the final two? I don't think I picked up on the prefixes there.
Yeah. Chiromancy is like reading of palms and that sort of thing. So it's very human oriented. And spatulomancy is like bones. Like... bones and that sort of stuff, yeah.
Just like ripping people's bones out of their body? I was gonna say necromancy is the obvious winner, but fuck, if I could rip people's bones out?
It's more about reading bones to tell the future. Oh. I mean, a lot of these are divination techniques. I mean, that's what they classically are in medieval times. But that's not how I'm using them in this. I'm using them as like elemental sort of power sort of situations, right?
Sure.
So we obviously have fire and death and earth and air and water and I guess humans and then bones.
What's her name? Emily Deschanel is going to be the professor of that.
Yep, probably.
I mean, canonically. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, Kevin Corrigan meets various people who have, you know, affinities for different or multiple combinations of these different, like, magic schools. We can establish which actors have which powers right now, but I think we should just move on. We can talk about that later if we want to. But I still have lots of notes to go through. So
sure.
Let's
imagine shuffle the cast deck and wherever they land.
Yeah. Some end up
much
with
like in a magic trick,
or Magic the Gathering. Oof! Showing all my cards there. Okay, so there are clearly some asshole factions of this quote school, just like with every other school. Like I assume
the Slytherins.
Yeah, I assume that all of the mobster actors are in a mob like asshole faction. Like,
yeah, sure.
Is there a pastamancer? Like, that's what they would probably.
There was in a text-based game called Kingdom of Loathing that I played for a while. You could be a pasta, you could be a saucier. You could be pastafarian, which was like a pasta wizard and something else. I remember
pastafarianism from.
Yeah,
the
no,
mid-2000s.
But this is different. This predated it, I believe.
Oh. Okay.
But it was all puns text-based. And jokes. Yeah, you had to fight a bunch of knob goblins at Goblin's Knob.
That's a plug for a text-based computer game from the 90s.
Commodore 64,
which may not exist anymore. It was on the internet, but anyway.
Oh, okay.
So. There are clearly asshole factions, but there's a lot of this movie is like people learning how to use their powers, and obviously Kevin Corrigan has a lot of raw energy and emotion but volatility, and he just doesn't have has really shitty control. And eventually there'll be some kind of plot by the mob villains who want to try to take over the world, and, you know, there'll be a bunch of other peeps that don't want that, and, you know, they're just happy having this sort of escape from the real world. But, again, Kevin clearly has this raw talent, but can't control it. You know, in almost all of the kinds of magic here, or mancies, we'll call them. Peeps on...
I don't know why I like that, but I do.
Yeah, it's fun.
So people on both sides try to recruit him, and the evil people obviously offer power. You know the deal, like all that sort of shit. But it'll come down to Kevin has, like, good, solid friendships with the non-mob faction, and their lives are in danger during a weird series of wizard duels and fights and shit. And, you know, he finally learns how to control his powers. You see, in the middle of a fight, he just sits down and starts to meditate in the middle of a fight. And then suddenly, he can control all of the different forms of Mancy, all the seven arts, which almost no one has able to do in the history of this weird pseudo-civilization.
So he's like a regular Aang then, huh?
Yeah. You see, he's discovered a new kind of Mancy. He calls it the Romancy.
God damn it, I had no idea. I didn't even... How did I not pick that up? You've been using the word Mancy for like fucking 10 minutes.
I sure have.
It was like 15 seconds ago. I was like, how is he going to get the title in there? Okay.
Yeah, he calls it the romance, using an old English word, ro, for peacefulness or calmness.
Oh,
okay.
So, we're learning again.
Not for fish eggs. Okay.
Nope.
Yeah.
It's spelled differently, but it's just R-O. Sometimes R-A, depending on, you know, which, yeah.
Wow, anyway. You don't even have to, like, shoehorn it. It's just spelled the same way.
Yeah, I know.
Nailed it.
So using this new romance, see? He can stop all the other factions from fighting, and we end up, like, the movie ends just after a major destructive battle with him talking to his friends, being like, I can teach you the true romancy, too.
Aha.
There we go. Okay. And then he winks at the camera, and that's all there is to it.
Yep.
And this feels like... Yet again, you've set this up for franchise opportunities.
I wonder why that would be.
Surprise, surprise. Okay.
I'm going to make a million doll hairs after this comes out.
I was going to say, you're the only one looking out for the bottom line here. It's true.
I guess.
Lee, you got that IMDb. Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have that IMDb. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Seth, are you ready for this?
Not really.
Okay.
Ba-da-da-da-ba-ba-ba.
There we go. So, True Romance, which is 1993.
Uh-huh.
In Detroit, a lonely pop culture geek marries a call girl, steals cocaine from her pimp, and tries to sell it in Hollywood. Meanwhile, the owners of the cocaine, the mob... track them down in an attempt to reclaim it.
Question.
Wow.
How did we get from Detroit to Hollyweird?
In a pink Cadillac.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the few IMDb summaries that really nailed it recently.
It really does, yeah.
That's the whole thing.
It is two sentences,
a good way. You know what might be a good way to break into this movie? Seth, why don't you go down the cast list and I'll tell you what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck.
And we'll do this instead of a summary, I think, because I think this will work. Yeah,
okay. That's better, yeah.
So nice. Do you want me to start at the beginning or at the end?
Anywhere. You can start anywhere and we'll go with it.
Well, then I'll just keep the same order because it's easier for me to read. Michael Rapaport.
Michael Rapaport plays a guy named Dick Ritchie. He lives in L.A. and he's a struggling actor who's friends with the main character.
Wait, and is his name Rich Ritchie?
Dick Rich. Oh, yeah, I guess his name is Richard Ritchie. You're right, yeah.
Shit.
Anyway, sorry.
He's friends with the main character, who is played by Christian Slater. And he has, since he's an actor, he has studio connections, and one of his connections is going to help him sell all this cocaine.
Cocaine.
And then at the end, he finds out that he got a role that he auditioned for, and there's a big shootout at the end, and he seems to escape with his life, so I'm assuming he makes it to his 7 a.m. call time.
Yeah. He's like one of the only people that sort of is unscathed at the end of the movie.
Yeah. He also is one of the only people who doesn't seem like a shitbag.
Yeah.
Oh.
True.
That's weird. But
I know, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So next we have Saul Rubinek.
Saul Rubinek plays the high-powered Hollywood studio exec.
Of course he does. Of course, this very Jewish gentleman plays a Jewish film executive. Jesus Christ.
He was the 90s.
He's the character who they're trying to sell the cocaine to, and he dies in the giant gunfight at the end of the movie. I can't imagine
Saul Rubinek in a gunfight, first off.
But... Well, he doesn't have a gun. He just gets shot during the gunfight.
He is very sort of apprehensive about the whole thing. He's like, everybody be cool.
So he plays a very stereotypically Jewish character.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So also I'd like to point out the character's name is Donnie Donowitz.
Jesus Christ.
Donnie Donowitz.
Just like Donnie Douglas from Frasier?
Oh, God.
Oh, it's real close. I guess you're right.
Yeah.
So the thing about this character is this movie's not directed by, but the script was written by Quentin Tarantino, and it's confirmed that he is the grandson of, I think, Eli Roth's character from Inglourious Basterds.
Get out of here. They do that a lot. He likes to circle jerk himself.
Post facto go back and design.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Yep.
I would like to point out that Saul's character owns a flat nose, I think 1986 or 87 911, which is a wonderful car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's bombing around the Hollywood Hills in that shit. Yeah. That's pretty great.
Okay. I can get behind that. Okay. Next on the list of this 17 fucking people is... Conchata Farrell.
She plays a casting agent.
Okay.
She's in basically one scene.
That sounds like what she does, yeah.
And she plays this role really well. She's like, she brings in Dick Ritchie, and she's like, oh, you were so good. We'll get back to you. And it actually turns out he might have been good. So
Yeah. Next up, I have Chris Penn.
Chris Penn plays a cop. He's one of the cops who ends up arresting... Bronson Pinchot, when Bronson Pinchot has a bunch of coke on him, and then they set up the big sting operation that ends up in a giant shootout at the end of the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let's say not just a cop. He plays a shitty cop. He's one of these, like, fast and loose cops.
Sure.
Yeah.
The real bad Lieutenant Nicolas Cage, Port of Call, New Orleans.
I'd say pretty close. Yeah.
I'd say closer to that than a bad Lieutenant Harvey Keitel. So.
Penis.
Sure.
Yeah. There's
Harvey
a lot
Keitel's
more,
penis.
There's a lot more drugs and a lot less like jerking off menacingly at people. Yeah.
Ugh, Jesus Christ.
Harvey Keitel used to show his dick in every movie he was in. So
it's aggressively spanking it. All right, let's keep going. Next we got Jimmy Gandolf.
James Gandolfini. He plays a mob hitman more or less. Yeah. And he shows up in California when he's tracked down Christian Slater, and Patricia Arquette is the other main character. He's tracked them down, and he goes to like try to get the coke back, and he finds Patricia in their motel room and basically like just beats the ever-loving fuck out of her and tries to kill her, but she ends up like being able to kill him. So
Jesus.
It is an incredibly upsetting scene.
It is one of the hardest things to watch that I've ever seen in a movie.
Jesus Christ.
It's violent.
Yeah. And it's you could tell the movie's trying to glorify it because she ends up winning in the end, but it's so disgusting.
It's more of a Tarantino jerk-off.
I was
going to
say, that really reminds me of Tarantino's, like, really unfortunate, like, violence towards women. But, like, it's okay. It's okay because they're strong.
Yeah,
like I'm like no, dude. Like it's...
she gets punched in the face a few times. He throws her through a glass fucking sliding door in a shower.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No, and he thinks he's doing it in like a postmodern way where it's like, no, it's cool because it's like, you know, it just exposes the real world or whatever. It's like, no, it's just fucking impossible to watch, and you're an asshole. Like,
Okay, let's move on the list. We got Tom Sizemore.
Tom Sizemore is the other cop. He's Chris Penn's partner. Basically, two characters doing the same thing.
Yep, got it.
Two of the same people doing the same thing.
He dies during the shootout. Chris Penn does not die during the shootout, but he does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next we have Valerie Kilmer.
Oh, Val Kilmer. This one's real fun. Val Kilmer auditioned to play the main character, and he did not get that role, but instead he got a role, and he's credited in the movie as Mentor, but really what he is he's Elvis, and he appears to Christian Slater Christian Slater hallucinates Elvis being there giving him advice in two different scenes in the movie.
I was going to say, I don't remember him being in the movie, but that makes sense because it's always like Shadow Elvis. So.
Yeah, it's like you never actually see his face. You just see most of his body.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
And Christian Slater's character is an enormous Elvis fan. Yeah.
Obsessed with it.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Next we have Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper is Christian Slater's dad. He's a former cop, he's a security guard who basically helps Christian Slater get out of a jam and helps him and Patricia Arquette get out of Detroit, and then the mob figures out something and they come to see Dennis Hopper and they kill him.
Okay.
After he insults them in a very racist way.
We can
talk more about that, I guess, but like, let's move on with the characters.
When we get to another character, we could maybe talk about that.
Well, there's a character
Next we have Bradtholomew Pittsburgh.
maybe the best character in this movie.
The least objectionable one. Brad Pitt.
Good.
Brad Pitt is the roommate of Dick Ritchie, and he, in the entire movie, never leaves the apartment. He almost never gets off the couch, and he just smokes weed the whole time, and then delivers exposition. Yeah.
Seems good.
He is ultimately, like, the source of their downfall. Like, he's fucking blasted high all the time, and the bad
guys tells everybody
the
where they are all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. The bad guys show up at the apartment, and they're like, "Do you know where this guy is?" Christian Slater. And he's like, "Oh, he's been around. I don't know. I'm fucking really high. I think he's over here." And that, like, unravels the whole thing. And he does that, like, four times.
More than once. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It does seem like actually a good character for him. So
apparently Brad Pitt was the one who suggested, like, he should never leave the apartment and he should stand up as little as possible.
Yeah. It seems weird for, like, I feel like he was super famous by this point, though. Maybe not.
I know. This is right Mason, before Legend of the Fall. And Legend of the Fall was his really big breakout.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, this was still very nascent Brad Pitt.
He had already been in Thelma and Louise, but I don't think, like, Interview with a Vampire had happened yet. So, like,
Interview with a Vampire was 1994, I believe.
So this is right before
that. So we're very close.
Right. Which I watched the other day, and oh, boy.
It is not good.
It's a...
Oh, boy. It is hard to get through. I mean, and it's just so goofy, goth bullshit. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I had friends that dressed like that, and man.
Sure.
Oh, it's so goofy now.
Speaking of, I watched... I rewatched Van Helsing the other day, and that movie is not enjoyable.
It is not. Oh,
hey, wait, I have a question. Are there still goth kids? Are there?
No,
like,
they turned into
2018.
It's like goth turned into Scene, and now it's something else, right? So
there's no, like, kids in middle school, like, dyeing their hair black anymore?
Oh, I'm sure there still are, but I don't think they would consider themselves goth. I mean, you can just look at the evolution of the Goth Emporium Hot Topic and how that has shifted.
Oh, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
It started off being, like, weird neopunk, and then it got, like, just pure black, and then it got into ironic gothness, and then it got into bright colors and Scene, and then I lost track.
I know that Hot Topic is the biggest retailer of wrestling apparel in the world, other than, like, actual WWE website. So, like,
I feel like it's mostly ironic now, but maybe not.
I feel like it's mostly because they're still in every mall that still somehow clings to life.
Yep, desperately.
In like Oklahoma.
Yep, you know? Like a scarecrow's carcass.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right, all next right. Next on the list, we got apparently our main character, Cristiano Slater.
The Christ himself. He is the worst fucking garbage in this movie.
I actually, I don't like Christian Slater. I think he's not good at his impression of Jack Nicholson. And I don't like Jack Nicholson
the whole time, yep.
I only like him as Will Scarlet.
If you were like at a bar and he cut himself and there were robot parts like under the cut, you'd be like, okay, makes sense. Got it.
I think when you start watching this, Zach, you asked me, does he like have a hard candy in his mouth the whole movie or like?
Yeah. He doesn't speak his words; he chews on them and spits them out. It's like it's just too much.
So I guess I'll go mostly in depth with this character because he is clearly the only character that like the script cares about.
Yeah.
Okay, so Christian Slater's
seamless.
Character, yeah, he seamlessly fits into this bullshit movie. You're right. He is definitely. We're going to talk about him probably the most because he's the most fleshed out character. Because I think it's the only character that the movie gives a shit about.
Okay.
He does this whole bullshit Nicholson thing, and it sounds like he's sucking on hard candy the whole time. But he's a comic book nerd. He works at a comic book store. He spends his birthday night at like a kung fu movie marathon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
It's a Sonny Chiba marathon. So like we know that it's Tarantino, because of that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
his whole deal.
Patricia Arquette shows up at the theater and like sits down next to him. They watch the movies together. Then they go out and get some food. And then they go home together, and they sleep together.
Does
and
he
then
know
she,
her already, or is she attracted
no, she,
by
they,
this
like,
kung fu
they,
marathon?
They have like a meet cute at the theater.
Yeah, like every white boy fantasy.
Yes, 100%. This whole movie is just a dumb white boy fantasy.
Well, and like, okay, a triple feature kung fu movie, that's just a bunch of fucking middle-aged white dudes sitting around looking like, is the blonde chick here yet? Nope, still not. Okay, I'll be back next year. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that never happens.
So they go back to his place and they sleep together, and then like she feels guilty and like goes outside, and he wakes up and he's like, hey, what's wrong? And she's like, well, I'm a call girl. Your friend paid me said he wanted you to get laid for your birthday, and she's like, but I really like you and I think I'm falling in love with you. And then this is to me one of the most upsetting lines in the movie. She goes I need you to know that I've only been a call girl for 4 days and you're only my third client, so I'm not damaged goods. Like,
It's fine. It's like, the 90s and it's fine.
Like the quality of a person is dependent on how many people they've had sex with.
Right.
Yeah,
and then,
especially
so they,
for money.
So then like in the morning they wake up and they go get married, and then she's like, yeah, I left all my stuff at my pimp's place. So he goes, and it's Gary Oldman. We'll talk about him more.
I was gonna say we're skipping characters here. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get to him more when we talk about him. But he goes there to get her stuff, and he ends up killing Gary Oldman, and he takes a suitcase that he thinks is full of her things, but it's really cocaine.
Yep.
They find out it's cocaine. They go to his dad's trailer, and his dad used to be a cop, and his dad finds out that they, you know, like, oh, the cops just think it's a gang thing, so you're free and clear, so like you should get out of town. They leave Lee.
I gotta say, the boredom with which you're describing this rings very true for the
They go and they leave town and they drive to California, and they meet with Michael Rapaport, and then they meet with Saul Rubinstein and fucking Bronson Pinchot, and then it's a big shootout. He gets shot during the shootout, but doesn't die. And the last scene of the movie is him and Patricia Arquette in Mexico living it up because they got a big suitcase of money and escaped. And they have a kid. Yeah.
And the kid's named Elvis. It's also worth noting, he got shot in the fucking eyeball and somehow lived. I don't know how that
assume
works.
That it like the implication is he got like grazed and it just happened to like cut across his face.
It like winged in the eye and then out the other side. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of bones and human skulls, I presume.
Yeah,
sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess the thing like, we just said
why would you leave your brain so susceptible to piercing objects like by having obvious ports directly to it?
Yeah. I mean, leave all the squishy parts right in front of your brain?
Like why would you
like
do
all
that?
Of us humans have. Yeah.
Yeah. Like oh man, it's not like I have a strong carapace or anything to protect to protect my neural matter.
humans were not designed for life. Seth on the other hand. Humans be dying.
Okay, well that's Christian right, Slater's dumb story. So next up on this list we have Patricia Arquette.
Okay, so
Patricia
Arquette plays the call girl who ends up marrying Christian Slater after knowing him for several hours and magically falling in love with him.
Yep, white boy fantasy.
Yeah.
Her name is Alabama.
Oh yeah,
like that.
Throughout the entire movie, too, she like keeps introducing herself with his last name, and it—I don't know. To me, it just there was this very heavy like ownership going on.
Yeah, and like a difference of identity and all sorts of things going on there. I don't like it.
So
yeah.
I think
sounds
well,
gross.
And she also I think Lee mentioned this, but she apologizes for her life and her sort of chosen
profession do that.
And whatnot.
Why would you do that?
A lot, just so much.
I mean, we can
let people be.
We can talk about the issues I have with this script after we get through the cast. But yeah, so she keeps getting like led around by mostly Christian Slater. Although she's the one who like gets the money, she's the one who saves him at the end. She's the one who kills fucking James Gandolfini. She literally lights him on fire. Like it's pretty crazy.
That was a good redemption for sure.
She gets like the voiceovers like in the movie. She's the one who has the voiceovers including the one at the end to like sum
That's
up
true.
The story. Like she, I know we talk a lot about there's been movies where it's like really poorly written female characters where the talent of the actress rises above it. It's so close in this one, but like she's
such
a fantasy character that even no matter how good she is, it's like this is never going to be rounded out. Like
it rings true for early Tarantino, I would say. It's just like, okay, Tarantino, we get it. Like this is kind of your deal, but
So after that, we have Gary Oldman.
Okay.
This warrants some time.
Gary Oldman plays the pimp, and his character's name is Drexel Spivey.
Yeah. That's a cool name.
It's a character that a lot of people who were our age now in the 90s seem to love. Well, or at least people who are a little younger than we are now in the 90s.
Is it because it's named after that famous university that's immediately adjacent to University of Pennsylvania?
No. They share buildings.
I think it was mostly his facial scars and his cool dreadlocks. His cool leg
mascot is a dragon.
It is a dragon. Yeah. Well, so he has white guy dreads and he has some very intense facial scars.
Yeah.
And the pitch for the character. So this was directed by Tony Scott, the brother of Ridley.
Yes. That is an important point. Yes.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because as you can imagine, if you've ever seen another Tony Scott movie, it's basically...
I have not.
Oh, okay. Well, have you seen Top Gun?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Enemy of the State? Yeah.
So, the connection I was talking about earlier, Tony Scott directed Beverly Hills Cop 2. So, Tony Scott movies, the thing I always notice about them is the action sequences are incredibly, like, frenetic. Like, they're quick cuts, and it's very disorienting visually, and for me, I don't love that.
No.
No.
It is, as you noted, disorienting. It's just too much. Yeah.
And that is this movie to a T. But, okay, so... When Gary Oldman showed up to do, he didn't even audition. He just got cast. And he showed up, and he like was
He's Gary fucking Oldman. Yeah.
You're all sure. He was talking to Tony Scott, and he was like, "So I didn't get to read the script. What's this character?" And he said, "Oh, well, you're a white guy who thinks he's a black guy."
Oh, no. That explains a lot.
And you're a drug dealer. And he's like, "Oh yeah, okay, I'll do it." Yeah, so he does this like weird affectation, and
I was gonna say, the voice is, because
it's an American accent. He's not from the U.S. to begin with, and then it's American accent of an American white person doing an African American voice the whole time. Yes. Like,
it is, and I mean, like, honestly, at the time there were people that did this thing, and so I guess it's okay, but or it's contextually reasonable, not okay, but like, yeah, the whole time I was just like, oh, he's doing the white guy black guy thing.
Yeah that sounds gross.
Yeah, and he's like hyper violent, and like his character basically swings from like completely calm to insanely like over the top violence at a drop of a hat. He's in all of two scenes.
Yeah. His demise is very fun.
Yeah, he gets shot right in the dick, and then Christian Slater shoots him a bunch, and he also shoots Drexel's right-hand man, who's played by the Herald from Coming to America, the guy who sings that song.
Oh.
She's your queen to be.
Sure.
Who we oddly didn't give you. Like, the only person in the cast we didn't give you.
Does Peter Weller show up instead of Slater?
Yeah, it should have been Christian Slater. It should have been Peter Weller for one shot of the movie, and then
like that would have been Fight Club.
And it's set in Detroit too. It's perfect.
Ah, god damn it!
Yeah, they just fucked everything up.
But like one of the big inciting incidents of the whole movie is when he kills Drexel after he goes to get Alabama's stuff. Christian Slater leaves his driver's license there.
Right.
Wait, when? Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't make
sense. When do you pull out your driver's license?
I forget the reason why. I honestly don't even remember.
I mean, there was a scuffle. It's possible that it, like, his wallet slipped out or something. I don't know.
Anyway, and the mob finds it. But the mob shows up before the cops do, because Drexel is a pimp and a drug trafficker for the mob.
Sure, right.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
And that's how they track down his dad, and that's how they track down Dennis Hopper, and that's how they eventually find him in Alabama and California.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we want to talk more about Drexel? I fucking don't like Drexel, but I know a lot of people do.
No, he's terrible. I mean, Gary Oldman did a very good job at it, but he's not a likable character.
So funny.
Okay, go ahead.
I say two fun things. There are two fun things about Drexel. One, he got the prop maker, the wig master in Bram Stoker's Dracula to make his Drexel wig for him.
Oh, Jesus.
As like a little, hey, can you do this for me between takes, more or less?
My God.
His elderly mother was visiting him at the time, and he's like, I'm bringing my mom to set, and she he would consult with her between takes about the character.
Go Gary Oldman's mom, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Weird.
My one question about this character is, was it the archetype for Dexter Jexter?
It was not, although the facial scarification does seem similar, as does the facial hair, so.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, that's all I really care about, so let's move on.
Dex is down here, baby.
Next up on my list, I have Chris Walken.
Chris Walken is like the mob boss, and he's Sicilian, he goes to question Dennis Hopper about where Christian Slater is, and that's when Dennis Hopper like lies to him about it, and then launches into a story about the origin of the Sicilian people, and it's super racist.
It's so Tarantino. It's so impossibly Tarantino.
Yeah.
That sounds really stupid. Would you say, though, that Chris Walken is a man with a plan?
Well, his plan is to kill Dennis Hopper for the story he tells, which he does do.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, I'm just referencing that other movie we did where I Chris Walken played the
mobster. Oh, right. I gotcha.
You never saw it, Lee, so I guess it makes sense you wouldn't know it.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So next up on the list, we have Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Sam Jackson. So Sam Jackson, much like Chris Walken, is in one scene. And he basically, it's like one of the first scenes of the movie, and he's selling some drugs to Gary Oldman, and Gary Oldman just kills him. And that's about it.
Aw.
Yeah.
Right. That's lame. And this is early Tarantino, right? So, like, Sam Jackson is sort of... I mean, he's part of the Tarantino canon, obviously, but...
Mm-hmm. He
felt underutilized, I would say.
Yeah, it's like one of those classic, let's bring in a, like, famous actor for this more or less meaningless scene, and it's going to add gravitas to the scene or something like that.
Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Tarantino does love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brief.
We got only two left. Two left.
Oh, God.
Whew, yeah. Bronson Pinchot.
Oh, Bronson Pinchot is the basically like assistant to Saul Rubinek's character, and he's also like an aspiring actor. He gets caught with some coke, and he turns in everybody, and it leads to the giant mob, cops, drug dealers, gunfight in the end of the movie. Yep.
Snitches get stitches, pretty much.
Yeah, he gets blown away during the shootout. So
yeah,
that is the axiom after all.
Yes.
All right, so now for your final fuck you to me, Kevin Corrigan.
No, he's one of the mobsters. I don't think he has a line. Like he maybe has like maybe half a line, but he's definitely there. He also dies during the shootout. Yeah.
This was Lee and I watched this vaguely at the same time, and yeah, I think we both went like, "Oh shit, Kevin Corrigan's in this," and that's why I fucked you with that one.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yep.
So do you have a picture of this movie now, Seth?
It sounds pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a movie you would enjoy. Certainly not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds real bad.
Yeah,
Zach, I've got I've got a little bit of like behind the scenes stuff. Do you have anything?
Sure, I had a bunch of things. I think we covered a lot of it. I think the only one that I really want to talk about is there is a score to this movie that is confusing to me.
The score is one of the only things I like about this movie.
So the score is very confusing. I don't remember any of the sort of normal songs, if there were any, but there's this major scale marimba music that undercuts all of the and it is definitively a marimba. All of the scenes where I think that they want the tone to be that things are looking up for our main characters.
Yeah, it's definitely in the scenes where it's like, ooh, we can root for these people.
Yeah, but the problem is, it like all of the prior scenes are all fucking terrible. Like, oh, Patricia Arquette just literally got almost beat to death. Or, like, I don't know, like, whatever happens. Like, Gary Oldman was shot by Christian Slater. So it's like it's intended as a mood changer, but it's hard to sort of shift gears that quickly. Huh. I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That seems kind of hackneyed.
Yeah, yeah, it's a little heavy.
I guess. I mean, I took it more as like, okay, these characters are very like they have a very loose grasp on reality.
Oh, definitely okay. That. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like all white boy protagonists.
Yeah, so it's kind of like this is my fairy tale music. Yeah,
I mean everybody in a Tarantino movie. Yeah, certainly. Yeah, yeah. That's the only thing I care about. What do you got, Lee?
All right, so Tarantino wrote the script. He really had nothing to do with it after it got sold. There's a couple like changes apparently that were made to it, and those were almost all made by Tony Scott. But
noted shithead. Noted shithead.
Noted Tony dead Scott? Person, actually. So.
Oh. Are those brother mutually exclusive?
Yeah. Well,
I actually don't know if he was a shithead, but he is Ridley Scott's brother, and he did kill himself a few years ago, unfortunately.
He was the. Oh, is this too dark? He was the jump off a bridge.
Like, he was. He did jump off a bridge. Yeah.
Very sad. Okay.
But anyway. The main change that Tony Scott made was Christian Slater's character is supposed to die.
And oh, okay. Good.
He said that he liked these characters together too much to not give Alabama a happy ending. Which, if that's your rationale, I guess I can kind of get behind it. Like,
yeah, maybe.
And yeah, I guess Tarantino maybe did say later on, like, the way that the movie was filmed and the, like, minor changes that were made throughout, he thought that that ending worked better. So, you know, it's got the Quentin Tarantino stamp of approval, I guess. Whatever
stamp
that's fucking
farts
worth.
Yeah,
yeah, right. The other thing I wanted to bring up is this script Quentin Tarantino wrote when he was still a movie, like a video store clerk, and it was a...
Oh, God.
It was written in conjunction with the other really famous Tarantino movie that he didn't actually direct, but he wrote, Natural Born Killers.
Right on. Yeah.
It was written as two parts of the same story, and it was supposed to be a big, long mini-series about the romance of crime in America, and so, my fucking God, with this bullshit.
Did he mandate that they all have to star the most hateable people? Like, let's get Christian Slater in there, and let's get fucking Juliette Lewis and Woody Harrelson all up in this nightmare garbage.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I sent you guys a message when I was trying to come up with a plot for this earlier today that was essentially to that effect. That, like, I couldn't figure out a main character.
Yeah.
Right, because none of them were...
They're all hateable.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I had one more thing, and this is the fucking cherry on top of this bullshit.
Boy.
Quentin Tarantino considers this his most autobiographical screenplay.
Of course he fucking
does. So fucking, what is autobiographical about this? It's a man marries a prostitute on a whim and then becomes a drug trafficker and gets into a giant shootout in Hollywood. What the fuck is autobiographical? It's the things that he jerks off to in his sleep.
Yes,
God.
Right.
Like, yeah.
He worked in a video store and had a white boy fantasy.
Yeah. The autobiographical part is he goes to a Sonny Chiba triple feature and then he imagines the rest of the entire movie.
gets to be like the white knight who saves a woman from prostitution.
No,
and
but
she's so grateful that she marries him. And,
right.
And then there's still ultra violence against women also everything is shitty about it,
but actually it's just 3 a.m and Sonny Chiba the third movie ends and he goes home and jerks off to this in his imagination. That's what it actually was.
Can I ask you guys like a real question? So like, what's the last Tarantino movie that like you have seen, and then what's the last one you've enjoyed?
I like all of them. I mean, I think most of them, to be fair.
I think Django was the last one I saw.
Django?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know of anything more recent than that. And the thing was that I was in Russia watching Django, because in Russia everything is dubbed, not subbed.
So that meant that
you have, like, instead of Christoph Waltz is, like, super, you know, like engaging, like the way that he talks is really, really important in every role that he's had. Instead you have like this super flat shitty Russian voice delivering all the lines.
That's very
and
fun.
Like, it's both amazing and terrible at the same time.
Sure.
Yep.
So it's like, Django, why do you not go to store now? it's so flat and so boring. And he's like, yes, that is bingo.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, that's exactly how he did it in Inglourious Bastards. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. That's a bingo. Yes, it's bingo. So, like,
what about you, Zach?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've seen all of them. I don't remember liking Inglourious Bastards a ton. Pulp Fiction is one that I come back to like every 5 years and continuously like, despite John Travolta and like
the obvious and everyone else in that
Tarantino
movie.
Overtones. Yeah, like, ugh. Yeah, I don't know. I think I like the what's the double feature horror one? Death Proof.
Death Proof. Yeah, I actually haven't seen that one.
Yeah, the one with Kurt Russell, where he's the stunt driver.
Yeah, it's Death
Proof. Grindhouse. Yeah, Death Proof. The other one is not my favorite, but Death Proof is fucking really good. I think.
Well, he didn't do the other one. The other one was Robert Rodriguez.
Right. Yeah. With Rose McGowan with the gun leg or whatever.
Yeah, that seemed really dumb.
Yeah. But Death Proof is genuinely fun. Like, good old romp. Yeah.
So for me, I haven't seen anything after Inglourious Bastards, which it turns out I watched again like a couple months ago. I don't think it holds up.
You don't like Eli Roth? Like, jacked Eli Roth?
It's just because it's like there's so many Tarantino like style choices that don't fit with the movie, but he added anyway.
Tarantino cliches at this point.
Well, like that whole Hugo Stiglitz section where there's like literal words on the screen, and it's like that doesn't fit with the rest of the movie up till that point. Like,
there's a voiceover that introduces them for no goddamn reason, and it's the only time there's a voiceover in the entire movie.
I mean, and also the whole ending is just like, it makes no sense.
Well, but I think like you're saying, Zach, like I still really like Pulp Fiction despite myself.
The last
one that I think I actually like is I like the Kill Bill movies, but I guess what I'm getting at is I feel like
From Dusk Till Dawn.
That's the other one that he wrote but didn't direct.
Quite enjoy that one despite it being so stupid. I enjoyed the
first half of that one. There you go.
I haven't seen in like 10 years. I feel like I liked it as like a 22-year-old, but now I'm not sure.
Because it has Selma Hayek grinding on a like ball python. So
this is exactly what I'm getting at. Are we too old to watch Tarantino movies?
I think probably,
we might just have the emotional maturity to not find it that
you have the emotional maturity of an 18-year-old boy, so makes sense.
So that's the end. I think you're right. I think
Yeah,
he appeals to a very certain demographic, and that demographic is a good half our age.
Yeah, at this point. Ugh.
Gross.
Ugh.
Should we rate real quick here? Or?
Let's get into ratings.
Now that we're, 3 hours into this record, we should.
That's true. It has been that long.
Goddamn internet. Fucking Comcast. They're worse than Heinz. So...
You know, you're right.
All right, so Lee, what you got?
So IMDb has this at 7.9 with 183,000 votes.
Yeah, all 15-year-olds.
Wait, 7.9. So that's not in the top 250, but it's like pretty close.
It's not, but I think I might be wrong here about what publication, but I think Empire Magazine, like within the last 5 years, rated it like the number 80 movie of all time or something.
I too was on the Wikipedia page, and yes, you're correct. It was Empire Magazine.
So for some perspective, excellent. Seth, this movie it basically made its budget back. It was like $13 million both ways. So.
It did not. It was 12.5 and it made 12.3.
So it was so close. Okay. Yeah.
So it lost two of them.
But I mean that's an incredible failure as far as Hollywood's concerned. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it has become like a cult favorite. It was very.
It has only because everybody
yeah.
because
everybody
that just
wants to
feeds
suck Tarantino's dick.
Yeah, I was gonna say because that just feeds into Tarantino jacking off to himself.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh, I'm only a cult favorite. I don't have commercial success.
I'm not that mainstream sellout bullshit. Yeah, fuck him.
Oh, I'm doing a jack-off motion for those people listening and not actually...
Oh, I thought it was seeing. Clear. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what penises sound like when they ejaculate.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as I'm aware, that's true.
We've all done these things.
Yeah.
Like, as humans do.
Yep. goddamn. Okay, so...
Yeah, what you got? What you got, OG?
Liz, too, if that's not what Prince Philip sounds like, you got some problems in your relationship. So... OG for me it gets a one. This movie's fucking trash.
Wowzers. Okay.
Yeah. Wow, we're really mean currently and I love it.
Yeah. Seth, your movie, oh god, it feels like it was so long ago that you told us what it was about. No, adult magic school and it's true romance.
Yep.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay. I'm gonna give you a 7. I think it sounds like fun.
Okay.
I think it's a good foundational movie to a franchise.
It's very predictable. It's like a very hero's journey sort of.
But not
you know,
in a bad way.
No,
not
in
a bad way.
But it is predictable. And as I was writing it, I was like, oh yeah, I'm doing the same thing that is very, very common.
That J.K. Rowling has done. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Well, the thing that makes billions at the box office.
Literally
so.
Billions
yeah,
of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Oh shit!
Zach,
by this time,
you,
the
Boyle?
Mega Millions has happened. Oh, I hope.
Oh,
one
so
of us
we
won.
All might be billionaires by now. So.
Oh god, let's.
I
hope.
Didn't buy a ticket to that.
Oh, I did.
Oh,
I know
should.
We did.
Yeah.
all right. So,
I plopped down my
$3.
I got the multiplier. So.
Yeah. Yeah. OG, I'm gonna go. I think more than a one, like. That seems harsh. I'll go like a 3. I don't like. I still
wow, that's
like...
really harsh for Zach, though.
Yeah, 3 seems worse than 1 for some reason. You know? yours feels measured,
okay.
Where mine was just angry.
Well, this is one of those that like I had watched as I don't know, like 10 years ago in college, and remembered liking, and then watched. Yesterday and just God, it's
man, nostalgia's a bitch.
Yeah, this is one that
good.
I saw for the first time maybe about 5 years ago, and it was like, oh, you know, filling in those holes in like your pop culture.
And
watching it and like talking to people who told me it's so good, it's amazing, being like, what the fuck is wrong with you? This movie's
no,
fucking
it's
terrible.
It's the same people that were like, Boondock Saints is the fucking best, and then now you're like, oh, well, you're an idiot. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Seth's so
yes.
Contextually, I feel like I need to contextualize this. I just finished listening to the audiobook of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix today. And then once I finished with that, I went and watched the movie of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And so you hit me at like just the right part of my life. it was just really good. Yeah. No, I like the whole thing. And you paid lip service to the like all these people are the same and it's bullshit. And so like there's that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go 7-6. 7-6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Seems a fair showing.
Yeah.
Good delta.
So you won handedly on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 78 goes to Seth without a doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I don't even have to ask Lee. Like, this is not a movie you should watch, Seth. You would not like this movie.
No, don't watch this. Seth might be the least suited person to watching this movie, I could imagine.
Yeah. It really seems not my style.
Yes, correct. Correct.
Uh-huh.
All right, so next week, Lee is going to be doing a movie.
Yeah, we hadn't decided on it yet because Lee is incredibly hard to find movies for.
Stop Listen, watching I gave all you options.
Yeah, That's but your true. Options suck because I don't want to do Cormac McCarthy. God
yeah,
damn.
I was gonna say, yeah.
I can guarantee you, I can guarantee you dead baby trees if you let me do Cormac. So.
A like, thing no one
I mean,
wants.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
What if I just gave you the plot of Blood Meridian instead of All the Pretty Horses? What if we did that?
Sure, sure, sure. Ugh. All right, well, yeah, I guess we'll see you on the flip side.
That's not wow.
Yeah,
really,
somebody
Zach?
Say something funny. I cut all this shit out every time.
Seth.
Mm-hmm.
Seth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let him die out there. He deserves it.
Okay. No,
this is
no.
Zach,
don't leave
this is
me out here.
To die on,
no, don't leave me out here by myself. No.
Ooh, catch
no.
you on the flippy floppy.
Oh yeah. Let those elements eat away at your shame.
All right. When I edit this, I'm gonna just leave 30 seconds of sadness silence at the end of it. All right.
Are we good? Can I stop?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we
yeah.
did.
Yeah. Uh huh.